Last time, actually, after this guided sitting, I have started a little explaining some detail about Anapanasati meditation. So I thought of continuing that little bit more. Basically, what we did in the as a guided sitting is also more towards the Anapanasati. But don't misunderstand that this is the only method available. There are so many methods available, but right now we are discussing about Anapanasati, that is mindfulness on breathing. This is a widely established method, and so many people are using it. And one of the method which can facilitate even the concentration, that is the Samatha meditation as well as the Vipassana or insight meditation. Anapanasati facilitates both these sides. So Buddha starts in a very simple manner, simply asking us to establish mindfulness when breathing in happens, and again establish mindfulness when breathing out happens. Sattva asa sati, sato pasa sati. So that is the simple statement Buddha tells. But beforehand, he gives a little background preparation or environment preparation, telling Dukkha Moola Gatova, Sunyagara Gatova, Nisidati, Pallankang Abhujitta, Ujunkayam Panidhaya, Parimukhang Satim Pattapetta. This is kind of a posture-check sort of arrangement of the posture, adjustment of the posture. And again, the suitable place. And where to establish mindfulness. So this all information is included in this statement. So you have to sit in a fairly suitable place. You can't go to a very noisy place at the beginning. So you have to find a fairly quiet place. And there also you need to keep your back straight, fairly the whole body straight. If you are sitting, then you have to sit cross-legged. So this is the most preferred posture, where you are sitting cross-legged, and keeping the body straight, head straight, neck straight, and eyes are gently closed, and keeping your attention at the nostril or just above the upper lip. So you don't need to exactly find out a very precise position where the breath is touching. You may be able to find it out as your mindfulness improve. But in the beginning, it is all right or enough to keep your attention at the nostril. So once you are keeping your attention at the nostril, you might be able to recognize when breathing in happens. You may be able to recognize when breathing out happens. So this recognition we are doing at that very moment, because we are not forcefully breathing, we are not doing anything artificial, but allow the body to breathe very naturally. And as the body breathing in, we are simply appreciating that process. We are simply recognizing that process. We are simply acknowledging that process. As the breathing out happens, we simply appreciate that process. We simply be with that process. We allow that process very mindfully, very gently. So it may take some time to find out this beautiful balance, because at the beginning, probably there could be a little controlling effect coming from our side. But once you recognize the proper dose, proper amount of effort, you may find the exact balance that is the most convenient and most comfortable breathing happens. As I said, we are not supposed to moving in with the breath or moving out with the breath, but we are keeping our attention at the nostril. Say when breathing in happens, we are not following it into the nasal duct or into the respiratory duct or into the lungs. We are not moving in with the breath. Similarly, when breathing out happens, we are not following the breath and going out of the body as well. We are simply keeping our attention at the nostril. Basically, Buddha giving a beautiful simile, Buddha says mindfulness is like a gatekeeper. You know, gatekeeper's duty is staying at the gate. He is simply staying at the gate and he investigate who is coming in, who is going out. Very similar manner, we are keeping our attention, keeping our mindfulness established at the nostril, and we are investigating what is happening there. When breathing in happens, we are investigating. We recognize, okay, now breathing in happens. We know that, directly know that. We are not imagining, we are not visualizing, we are not thinking. Rather, we are simply knowing. Right now, directly knowing, breathing in happens. We are experiencing it. You don't need to ask from someone to know that. We ourselves know that. Now breathing in happens. When breathing out happens, we simply know very directly through our experience, right now, breathing out happens. So we are keeping this very clear picture. We don't need to complicate this. We don't need to add so many other parts to this, but rather keeping this fairly simple, straightforward approach. We know right now breathing in happens. We know right now breathing out happens. So once we know that, then Buddha asks us to maintain that knowledge, maintain that mindfulness. So like adding one by one, one breath happens, we know that. Next breath happens, we know that. Next breath happens, we know that. So likewise, we have to allow this process to continue. So it may not be just 5 breaths, 10 breaths, but maybe 100 breaths, 200 breaths, 300 breaths, likewise. So we are simply allowing the process to continue. So at that time, there may be various distractions. Our mind still don't like to be with the breath because it's a very boring process. And you might feel sleepy. You might feel bored. So these are, and again, the body might ache. Various painful feelings can happen. The mind might go to the past or to the future. So all these are different obstacles coming in the way. So we can aware of them. We can know them, and then suppose your mind has shifted to the past. So once you know, now it is not with the breath, but going after a memory. So once you know that, without blaming yourself, without condemning yourself, slowly bring it back to the breath. Similarly, if your mind starts to go towards the future, planning, going after some hopes. Once you know that, don't allow to do that to the mind. Rather, slowly, carefully bring it back. So the nature of the mind is to go to the past and to the future. That is the nature. But we need to little tame the mind. We need to little control the mind to come back to the position where we want. We want it to be at the nostril. So we are keeping our attention again and again at the nostril as much as possible. So very much like collecting our attention. Assume that our attention is all around our body, spreaded. What we are trying to do here is now like slowly, 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 keeping, collecting our attention to the nostril area. So that is where the concentration is happening. We are collecting our attention fairly to the nostril. So as we improve this process, then we may be able to recognize where even the breath exactly touches. But at the very early levels, we may not be able to recognize that. But when our concentration improves, we may be able to recognize exactly where even breath touches. And Buddha takes us to the next level, asking us to see whether the breath is longer or whether the breath is shorter. before that, actually, we can recognize whether what are the differences between in-breath and the out-breath. Now, in-breath may be cooler. Out-breath may be warmer. That is a very obvious fact. And even the opposite can happen. If you are in a, say, different situation, even the difference also can happen. And sometimes the in-breath happens with left nostril. Out-breath can happen in the right nostril. In-breath can happen on both nostrils. Out-breath can happen on both nostrils, or one nostril, single nostril. So all these differences can happen. So that's why we need to have a very open mind, and we are not having any preferences. We don't have any preference thinking that the breathing has to happen every time with both nostrils. It may not, because the body knows how the proper balance is to maintain. So therefore, this whole breathing process is a natural process. We don't need to put our hand. We don't need to get involved. Rather, we allow the body to breathe in, breathe out as it likes. And we are simply an observer. We are not disturbing the process, but we are carefully witnessing the process. You know, when there is a quarrel happens, when there is some incident happens, if we are witnessing that process, then we are not participating to the process. So we are maintaining some gap, some distance from the process. We are not going in and get involved with the process. Similarly here, we are witnessing the process. Breathing in and breathing out is a natural bodily process, and we are simply witnessing the process. Maintaining some distance without getting involved with the process. So this is the kind of a balance. So mindfulness has this balance. We are not being lost in the process, or we are not unmindful about the process. We are fairly mindful, but with a beautiful balance. And once we found this proper balance, and we can stop that noting. Suppose at the beginning, if too much distractions happen, we may be noting it as in, out, in, out. Likewise, we can use a term. When breathing in happens, we are using the term in. When breathing out happens, we are using the term out. So this way, actually, we can synchronize our mental process with the bodily process. You know, the breathing in and breathing out is a bodily process. Now we need to properly synchronize our mental process also with this breathing process. So in order to do that, in order to facilitate that, we are using labeling, or what we call the noting. So this noting process is extremely helpful for beginners, because otherwise mind distracts. Go to the past, go to the future, go to various other pains and all other distractions. So in order to minimize that, we can use noting. So when you know, when you experience breathing in happens, you simply mentally note in. When breathing out happens, you mentally note out. So don't do that in a way to disturb the process. You are doing it very gently. So as you're breathing in, once you know that, in. As you're breathing out, once you know that, out. So likewise, you are gently sort of maintaining this technique. And even there are various other techniques available. Say, for example, counting techniques is another technique. Suppose you like mathematics very much, and if you like to get little bit of mathematics, taste of mathematics to Anapanasati, you can do that as well. Say, for example, when breathing in happens, one. Breathing out happens, one. Next, breathing in happens, two. Breathing out happens, two. Next, breathing in happens, three. Breathing out happens, three. Next, breathing in happens, four. Breathing out happens, four. So likewise, you can continue maybe till 8 or 10. Don't go beyond that. 8 or 10 is more than enough. And again, you can come back to one. Suppose when you are at number five, mind distracted. Mind has got to the past. Then again, you need to bring your mind back to the breath, and you have to come to one. Rather than starting with six, you have to be honest with yourself and come back to one. Again, one, one, two, two, three, three. Likewise, you can continue. So this way, in a way, you can measure how your mindfulness improves. Suppose you couldn't reach 10 for a couple of days. But after several days of practice, you may be able to reach number 10. And you can continue that. Suppose you reach number 10, and again next time you only continue till number 5. Next time again 7. Next time again 5. So likewise, kind of up and down. But as you improve, you can continue till number 10 continuously. So at that time, you have to stop numbering, counting. You don't need to maintain this counting or labeling forever. Rather, once you know, now mind has fairly tamed, then you need to stop counting. You need to stop labeling and simply have a very simple, relaxed, quiet mind. With such simple, relaxed, quiet mind, now you are observing the breath. Simple observation, that's all. So breathing in happens, you know that, you observe that. Breathing in happens. Breathing out happens. You know that. You observe that. Breathing out happens. Your mind is fairly quiet. No inner chatter. So fairly quiet. So at this stage, actually, you can recognize what the slight differences between in-breath and out-breath. Say, for example, in-breath is cooler. Out-breath is warmer. In-breath is longer. Out-breath is shorter. In-breath happens in one nostril, out-breath happens in another nostril. So likewise, the differences you can recognize. And more you refine in this process, more you improve in this process, you may be able to understand even two consecutive in-breaths are not exactly similar. And two consecutive out-breaths are not exactly similar. Previously, we knew that two in-breath and out-breath are different. It's obvious. But now you are giving a little challenge to the mind that two consecutive in-breaths are not similar. Two consecutive out-breaths are not similar. Now we are trying to recognize what are these subtle differences. Is the in-breath which I have experienced before, is it longer when compared with the in-breath experiencing right now? If I have experienced an out-breath before, and comparatively, the current out-breath, is it longer or shorter? So we are giving a little comparison between two consecutive in-breaths and two consecutive out-breaths. So there are probably, we may be able to recognize, when compared with the previous in-breath, the present in-breath happens for a longer time. Suppose the previous in-breath happened 5 seconds. This present in-breath almost like now happening more than 5 seconds. Now it has reached 7 seconds, 8 seconds, likewise. So I am giving this time values just to understand the position, just to understand what's really going on. Certain in-breaths may be very shorter. Certain in-breaths may be a little longer. Actually, we can know that. We can recognize that difference. So now, if we understand logically, in order for us to recognize this way, two consecutive in-breaths are not exactly similar, but rather one is longer, another is shorter, that indicates our mindfulness has fairly refined. You can't immediately find out this difference. Actually, in order for you to recognize this difference, you need to have a very precise mindfulness, fairly sharp mindfulness. So that is where we know now mindfulness has somewhat improved. Our clear comprehension, knowing has fairly improved now. So Buddha taking us to that stage, asking us, Digangva asasanto digang asasamiti pajanati. Digangva pasasanto digang pasasamiti pajanati. What Buddha says is that when breathing in happens longer, he knows that. When breathing out happens longer, he knows that. Similarly, Buddha tells us, Rasangva asasanto rasang asasamiti pajanati. Rasangva pasasanto rasam pasasamiti pajanati. When breathing in happens in a shorter manner, so we know that. When breathing out happens in a shorter manner, we know that. So that means quick in-breaths and quick out-breaths are happening at that time. So likewise, we have to refine our mindfulness. We are sharpening the mindfulness. You know, more and more we keep our attention with breath, we are able to sharpen mindfulness. At the beginning, it's a very matter of establishing mindfulness because mind is going here and there, jumping here and there. So we may not be able to establish mindfulness. But with our effort, once the mindfulness has fairly established, then only we can find out these subtle differences. And once we are able to find out these subtle differences, then actually we have to move forward. And knowing these subtle differences indicate now we have somewhat improved. So we have to give some marks. You know, at the beginning, we couldn't maintain our attention, suppose, for 10 breaths. But right now, we may be able to maintain our attention for 20 breaths at a stretch. And maybe 30 breaths at a stretch. Maybe 50 breaths at a stretch. When you are doing that, now mind find out kind of a beauty staying with the breath. But at the beginning, it's extremely boring. Being with the breath is a utterly boring process. You may be yawning, you may be sort of feeling drowsy, many differences, many obstacles. But later, when the mind itself knows, now being with the breath is not a bad thing. Being with the breath is a kind of a calm process. It's a kind of a friction-free process. It's a kind of a comfortable process. When mind itself knows that, then the distracted period becomes less and less. Say, for example, when you are at the beginning stage, when your mind distracted towards the past, probably it might stay there for several minutes. Because that may be interesting. What you are memorizing, that past memory may be very interesting. So the mind enjoying that. And after a while only it comes back. But later, because of our effort, when mind recognized that staying with the breath is such a beautiful activity, then even when mind distracts, it does not stay longer with that distraction. So it as quickly as possible, it comes back. Because the mind recognize being with the distraction is little burning when compared to the being with the breath. Because, you know, breath is a very calm, very neutral process. But all other distractions are extremely burning kind of processes. Suppose you got some anger, angry with someone, and that incident come to the mind. Again, you get boiled up. Again, you get angry. So it's a kind of a burning process. So once the mind knows that rather than going back to that past memory, why not I stay with the breath? It's a kind of a comfortable place. It's a kind of a pleasing experience. So mind knows by itself, just being with the breath is a comfortable process, it may comes back quickly. So once it comes back quickly, that means less and less distractions, more and more with the breath. Now actually we are collecting the mind. We are collecting our attention. More and more we become being with the breath now. More and more breaths. 20 becomes 30, 30 becomes 40, 40 becomes 50, 100, 200. Likewise, now fairly concentration develops. At that time, Buddha gives us the next challenge. He's telling us to recognize how breath begins. So far, we were able to recognize the intense part, high intensity part of the breath. That is very much the middle part of the breath. But there's a very slight beginning, very subtle beginning part of the breath. Then only it comes to the rough middle part. And then again it starts to go away, that is the waning side. So that is the ending part. So this beginning part and ending part is almost like hidden. But as our mindfulness sharpens, our clear comprehension sharpens, we need to give the challenge to the mind to recognize how this breath begins. Is it immediately beginning? Is it kind of an immediate rise up? Or is it kind of a gradual rising, gradual improvement, gradual beginning? So we have to investigate that. And then we are maintaining the middle part. Now at that time, we know the breath fairly. And after a while, it starts to fade away. And that's the ending part. And there may be even a slight gap just before the next breath. So likewise, we are giving the little challenge to the mind to find out all these different components, or rather different parts of the breath. And then we are further refining mindfulness, further refining clear comprehension. So these are the challenges or the next exercises available in this process. I feel it is enough for today. And if you have any questions related to today's introduction, or if you have any question related to your today's mindful experience, or if we have already reported the Q&A, so we can get into that part.
Avasarai Bhante, we have 5 questions today.
Yeah.
Question number 1. So this has 2 parts. Walking mindfulness. While practicing walking meditation, after I have begun labeling the movement of my feet touching the ground, heel, sole, etc., I feel as if I am forcibly placing my feet to feel these labels rather than watching them and labeling what I observe. Sitting mindfulness. When distractions occur and are quite intense, after many attempts of trying to see through these noises and pains, I can understand my mind cannot focus on the in and out breath. I then try and label and observe the distractions that I am hearing or the pains I am feeling. After a few minutes of doing this, the distractions begin to grow stronger and I am no longer able to concentrate on simply the noises and pains. And my mind goes elsewhere. I cannot bring my attention back at all. Once this has happened, I feel the need to open my eyes and stop the sitting meditation. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, I think it's too early to go to these external pains to observe, because if you are doing anapanasati, mindful breathing, so we need to further improve that, because if you go to observe various pains and sensations available in the body too early, then you don't have enough energy, you don't have the necessary balance, you don't have the necessary concentration to do that. Therefore, as the pain fades away or as the pain improves, you can't maintain that mindfulness and concentration, so mind again start to distract. Then we lost our attention. So therefore, don't worry too much right now with observing feelings. Rather, improve further with mindfulness on breathing. And more you are having a fair concentration, then actually you can observe various feelings available. Actually, just for you to give a kind of a threshold, kind of an indication to know whether right now enough concentration is built up, available to to observe various sensations, you can check whether you can recognize in-breath and out-breath. Now, this is not the beginning stage. At the beginning stage, we are able to recognize whether in-breath and out-breath. Then it is longer or shorter. Then the beginning, the middle, the end. So likewise, there are various stages we are passing. And after that, there is a stage coming where mind calms down, breath calms down. And almost it is difficult to recognize whether it is the in-breath or the out-breath. So it's like so subtle. At that time, we are able to maintain continuous attention at the nostril. We have almost no distraction, but still can't very well know whether it is the in-breath or the out-breath. So that indicates the mind has come to a fair settlement, fair established, fairly concentrated state. And that is the indication that we are now ready to observe various other sensations as well, various other feelings as well. So therefore, don't be in a hurry to observe these various feelings. Instead, continue your attention as much as possible with the breath. And the other point is that when you are sitting, find out the most possible, most comfortable posture. Because if you found a little uncomfortable position, little difficult position, difficult posture, you can't continue it for a long time because mind gets difficult. I mean, mind finds it difficult to stay with the posture because it's uncomfortable. So therefore, recognizing the proper posture, most comfortable posture, is one of the key factors of meditation. Because if you are in a very balanced, comfortable posture, then you can maintain that posture for quite a long time. And the point is, you are not yet seasoned. The body is not yet giving enough support. That's why we need to find out the most comfortable posture. But later, as you continue a meditation, the body starts to support this process. Body starts to maintain its posture for a long time. You don't need to change the posture again and again. That means, say, at the beginning, you could only maintain your attention at 15 minutes. Maintain your posture at 15 minutes. After that, you had to change it. And after a week or two, you can maintain it for 20, 30 minutes without changing the posture. So that is where the body starts to giving its support. And after some time, even 45 minutes, 1 hour, you can maintain this posture even without changing it. So these are actually the practically you come across these things. And therefore, finding out most possible, most comfortable posture is one key point that you can remember when you start meditation. Yeah.
Question number two. This is sort of just a general question. Dear Bhante, sometimes when I meditate, I am wondering why I am meditating. What is the purpose of this? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I am wandering a bit aimlessly with this practice, even though I'm meditating most days. How do I know I am on the right track? How can I identify when I need to make changes or find some other tools or knowledge that will help? I see little improvements in my practice week by week, but what about the big picture? If I just keep practicing, will some insight just come automatically with time? Or is it helpful to set some sort of big goal with a path to follow? That's the end of the question.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, this is a common question. We are, even though we have a fair amount of motivation to continue, time to time, certain doubts can arise. If you know that doubt is one of the hindrances, then it helps us to overcome that. But if we fertilize the doubt, then we might even give up meditation. Say, for example, while meditating, you might even get a doubt whether this method is correct or whether this method is wrong or is it essential to meditate or asat, is it better to listen to a Dhamma sermon? Or is it the correct posture? Is it the correct method? Is it the correct teacher? So many questions to the mind. So many doubts arising in the mind. More you feed it, more you encourage it, more detrimental to your meditation. So that is the bottom line. More you start thinking again and again about it, more you start to proliferate about it, more detrimental to your practice. So therefore, don't encourage it. You can think about these things maybe later, not during the meditation session. Whenever these kind of doubts arise during the meditation session, recognize this is vichikicca. This is the fifth hindrance, what you call vichikicca. So vichikicca is one of the hindrances that is fairly troubling ourselves, because we ourselves don't know where we are going ahead, and we ourselves are not yet sure about the path. Therefore, it's quite possible that vichikicca, this doubt, can arise. But at that time, we have to little postpone the question. Now, say it's very much like while you are in grade 5, suppose one of your brother, one of your elder brother, giving you a question of grade 10. You are not yet capable of answering the grade 10 question, because you are still in grade 5. So you need to postpone the answer, telling that, okay, I'm still in grade 5. So I'll answer that once I reach grade 10. So likewise, you can continue your meditation. This actually, the as your mindfulness grows, then all these doubts are slowly, slowly fading away. So don't worry. You can continue your practice, and all these doubts will slowly fade away as the insight arises. Yeah. Back to you, Chatu.
Bhante, we have a question from Sudesh and Nirupa directly. I'll unmute them.
Yeah.
You should be able to talk now.
They are keeping the mic still mute. You have to unmute it. Oh yeah, now correct, yeah.
Bhante, we are very new to the meditation.
Yeah.
And from 3 weeks now, I am trying to do the this meditation. And yeah. My problem is, actually I don't feel that in-breath or out-breath around my nose. What I will have to do is I will have to forcefully do the breathing. My question is whether something wrong with my posture or what sort of advice you can give. Yeah.
So actually, if you can't feel the breathing, and forcefully breathing is not the solution.
Yeah.
So you need to see whether what are the things that you are feeling right now. Say, for example, you are in a good posture, comfortable posture. At that time, breathing may not be aware, right? I mean, you can't feel the breath, but can you feel that your hands are touching each other? Can you feel your legs are touching each other? Or can you feel that legs are touching the ground? Can you feel the body weight? Can you feel that clothes are touching the body? So likewise, there are so many other indications telling you right now the mindfulness has established. Are you able to recognize these points, these indicators?
Yes, I can. Even that my tummy going up and down, then what yes. I just concentrate for that part.
Exactly. So rather than going to breath, you can simply be with the this rising and falling, because rising and falling is a very beautiful process, very good process to continue. Actually, it paves the way to insight meditation directly. Actually, you know, Anapanasati has both sides, going towards the Samatha as well as the Vipassana. But this rising and falling technique brings us more towards the Vipassana. So if you are able to recognize rising and falling while sitting, so maintain your attention there. And the place is abdominal, like right? Today I have mentioned while Anapanasati, you have to maintain your attention at the nostril. But for rising and falling, it is not the nostril, but you have to maintain your attention at the rising and falling, that is at the abdomen, at that area. And there you have to recognize, okay, right now rising happens. If it is necessary, you can note it, rising. When falling happens, you can note it, falling, rising, falling, rising, falling. So you simply allow the process to happen, very similar to Anapanasati, but the place of your attention is different. You have to place your attention at the abdomen and you are noting it as rising and falling. And you allow the body to breathe naturally. And once rising continues, you have to just be aware of that whole process. It has a beginning of rising and then there's a fairly knowing area. And at the end, it stops. And after a little gap, then the falling happens. Then falling starts to happen. And that also is very much like a relaxing process. And then it finishes. So you have to keep your attention on each rising cycle and each falling cycle. So you can do that and maybe next time you can report what is the result.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Question number 3, sitting mindfulness. Venerable Bhante, thank you for your explanations. I am noticing some improvements in my practice. Initially, I was sitting for 10 minutes, and now I set my alarm for 30 to 45 minutes. One of the reasons for sitting this amount of time is to allow for all distractions in my mind. The instruction to focus on my nostrils was great because it was so subtle and lets me see the amount of effort required for this. Can you please explain the following experience I have? After some time of focusing on my nostrils, I have a vague awareness of breathing, and then there is nothing. That's the only way I can explain it. I don't know how long it lasts, and I'm 99% sure I am still awake. All I know is that when I get awareness again, I know I feel peaceful. As soon as the awareness comes, I try to label and figure out what is happening, but the moment is gone. Then I just try to come back to focusing on my nostrils, and sometimes it might happen one or two more times during a sitting. That's the end.
Yeah, actually, this is possible because that's why I asked you to have an open mind. So we are basically allowing the process. At the beginning, when the mindfulness is well established, we know precisely this is the in-breath. We know precisely this is the out-breath. We know precisely these are in-breaths are longer, shorter. This is the beginning, the middle, the end. All this precision is maintained. But later, as an improvement, slowly, breath becomes subtler and subtler. If you are meditating, you might have experienced this. The breath becomes subtler and subtler. Now, the mindfulness you need to maintain your attention on a gross breath is in a way easy, in a way not a big deal. But if you are to maintain your attention on a very subtle breath, so that is a little challenging process. And it's almost like disappeared. Almost like you can't distinguish whether this is the in-breath or out-breath. So this is the exercise. This is the challenge. So at that time, don't change the posture, don't change the meditation object. Rather, just maintain your attention at the nostril and just be there. So that is where you are reaching the fourth stage, according to the Buddha's that 16 stage or 16 step Anapanasati. The fourth stage is mentioned by the Buddha, Pasambhayam kaya sankharam asasisami iti sikkhati පසම් භයං කාය සංඛාරං පස්සසිසාමි සික්කති. Calming down breathing in, I am being mindful about breathing in. Calming down breathing out, I am just being mindful about breathing out. So we are allowing that process to happen. Now breathing becomes very gentle, very soft, very subtle, and mind is fairly peaceful. Breathing happens very beautiful. So each and every breath brings us little happiness. So we are actually at this level, meditator is not struggling with meditation. Rather, he is now enjoying meditation. He allows the process. So at the beginning only we have little problems, but later you can enjoy this whole process. You know how to maintain this balance. So, and therefore you allow this process, don't worry about various other doubts. So you simply start to enjoy, and these are the subtle, these are the kind of benefits. So, I mean, not the big benefits, rather some side benefits we are having. Little bit of bliss, little bit of calmness, little bit of tranquility. And these are some benefits that you can come across on the way to in this meditation.
Question number 4, sitting mindfulness. I begin by focusing on my body and posture. I slowly start to notice the sensations on my feet and stay with the body. I then move to the nose and the breath. When I observe the breath, I notice the in-breath and the out-breath. After a while, I notice how it starts to get softer and softer. While it was getting softer, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure what the sentence is. Then my mind begins to drift away into the thoughts. And as I tried to get back to the breath, the thoughts feel like a TV in the background while I try to focus on my breath. I get the urge to open my eyes multiple times when I am in this state. Finally, I open my eyes and stop the meditation. That's the end.
Yeah, I mean, you did one mistake, that is the opening of eyes. Actually, you are reaching a very beautiful stage, as I said in the previous answer. So breath becomes subtler and subtler is the next challenge. Actually, that's the beauty of this meditation. The various kamatahan or the objects given in this meditation are evolving. At the beginning, they appear like little gross. So we can establish mindfulness fairly easily. But the challenge is this meditation object starts to evolve. It becomes subtler. So as I said as the previous answer, so maintaining attention on a gross object and maintaining attention on a subtle object are different. So, I mean, you need a very precise, sharp mindfulness to maintain your attention on a very subtle object. So at that time, if you don't have that sharpness, then mind starts to distract. So at that time, so don't worry. I mean, at the beginning, your mind even wandered with the gross breath. So similar stage right now. Now with subtle breath, mind wanders, not with the gross breath. You are able to maintain mindfulness with gross breath. You succeeded that, but not yet with the subtle breath. So take it as a challenge. Now you know. Breath becomes subtler and subtler, and once it reaches a particular place, now mind wanders because the mindfulness is not enough. But once you know mind has wandered, slowly take it back. Same approach actually what you did some time back. And now once you again re-establish mindfulness, try to just be with this very subtle breath. You are always keep your attention that I have to stay at the nostril. That's all. This is the area where I want to maintain my attention and just come back. And assume that the breath is almost like unnoticeable. Then again, mind drifts. Again, you know, once you know that, again comes back. And you are staying like a gatekeeper, just staying there without a visitor. Sometimes gatekeepers don't have to do anything because there are no visitors. Similarly, he also, not yet the in-breath and out-breath happens, but you are simply staying there. Mindfulness is simply there. So we simply have to maintain that. So later, probably, as your mindfulness sharpens, probably you may be able to recognize, okay, now another in-breath happens, now an out-breath happens. Or actually, even you don't need to distinguish, rather, if you know that something is happening, some sensation happens, some kind of a movement happens, some kind of a touching sensation happens, that's more than enough. I mean, you are not supposed to effortfully breathe in or breathe out in a gross manner. Don't control the breath, don't force breathe. Or don't even shift to another place. Rather, try to keep your attention at the nostril and see whether some kind of a sensation is at least available. You don't need to name it. You don't need to name it as in-breath or out-breath. Just some sensation is there. And you don't know whether it is in-breath or out-breath. But you know that is some indication is there that you are alive. You know the process. You know something is there. So you are maintaining that attention. And this is where further calming down happens and further refinement happens. And therefore, don't open your eyes. Just check whether you can maintain at least a couple of more minutes without opening your eyes. And more you familiarize with this process, you are able to maintain your attention at the nostril even without a breath. Yeah.
Question number 5. This is a little bit longer one. Walking mindfulness. Venerable Sir, when I do walking practice, I focus on the sole of my foot. During the last session, after about 2 rounds of naming left, right, and focusing on the sole, I started feeling the touch of my heel on the hard wooden floor and then the pressure upwards from the floor due to my weight. The pressure transferred around the outside edge of the foot and just below the little toe, which was the first one that touched the ground. Gradually, pressure transferred across the sole towards the ball of the foot while toes touched the ground one after the other, ring toe, middle toe, long toe, and then finally the big toe. The big toe then pushed the body, taking the weight, completely and transferring to the other leg for a similar pattern. After 5 to 6 rounds of continuous mindful walking, I started getting more details on this process, such as how the sole and toes touch the ground, how they push and swell against the floor due to the weight, cold and warm sides of the toes, how they come out from the floor with the lift of the foot, intensity of the impact, etc. After about 15 to 20 minutes of walking, these details faded away and I could only feel the impact of the foot on the ground and the pressure upwards. Some cold and hot sensations were coming from the lower part of my body or foot. I could not pinpoint from where they are coming or the place. I could walk like this for about 20 to 30 minutes. Sometimes the mind wandered off, which I knew by not feeling these sensations, and then realized that I was on thoughts. Once this realization comes, I started feeling the walking process again. Impact of the foot on the ground, some cold and hot sensations, etc. So I could confirm the mind came back to walking naturally. This is the experience and reflection of my 1 hour mindful walking practice. Thank you, Bhante. That's the end.
Yeah, actually, you can be happy. The process has happened beautifully. And only thing is, we need to know that this is how it evolves. So as I said in the previous question also, the breath evolves. The breath, at the beginning, we are simply establishing mindfulness. Sato asa sati, sato pasa sati, just establishing mindfulness. Once mindfulness is established, we can see various subtle details. That is, whether it is longer, whether it is shorter, whether this is the beginning, the middle, the end, whether it is warmer, this is colder. So likewise, these are all different facets of the breath. So this is necessary actually. Actually, we are encouraged to see all these details. More and more we see the details, then naturally the process evolves. Process evolve to give us less and less detail. The process become very subtler and subtler. Now we can't almost find out much detail, and details become less and less. Now just an indication is there, just to indicate that we are alive. There is something is there. There is something going on. Just a process is going on. That is more than enough. And that is how the calming down happens. The tranquility arises. You know the tranquility? The tranquility is one of the factors which is arising only when mind settles. And tranquility is a predecessor for the samadhi. Before samadhi arises, tranquility happens. So this is how the stepwise process going on. So similarly, in this walking process, a similar pattern is there. At the beginning, you are simply establishing mindfulness simply by left, right, left, right. That is the establishment of the mindfulness. And once the mindfulness is well established, then you are able to find out little more detail. As this report beautifully mentioned, the soul touches, and then ring finger happens, then short finger happens, when longer finger happens, the thumb happens. Likewise, all these subtle details are available for us. That indicates now the clear comprehension. Sampajanya is improving. As a result, now naturally the process starts to evolve. What happens to once it is evolved? That means less and less details. Now not many details are available, but less and less details are available. And we have to ready for that. We simply have to welcome that, and we are maintaining our attention with that less and less detail. And now you don't need to name them. You don't need to label them. You don't need to note them. Simply, some indication is there. Just a process is happening. Just a knowing is happening. You know something is there. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. Or it has a beginning or it has an end. It is arising and it is passing away. So likewise, less and less details is a possibility, and go prepared. And next time, when it is happening, you know now this is how the meditation evolves within the walking session. So since you are well prepared, there won't be any issue. You know that this is how it is evolving, this is how it is changing, and you know the milestones of the process. And once each and every milestone appear, you know you are in the correct track.
Question number 6. This is a little bit of longer one as well. Sitting mindfulness. Dear Bhante, when I was doing the guided session last time, I could observe that the mind collected well on the sensations of the body, such as the weight on my bottom, touch of the soles on the floor, and coldness, and even the weight, the eyelids. I could also feel the rise and fall of the chest, though I did not specifically focus on that. After about 5 minutes of calmness, I could hear some sounds coming from the monastery from Bhante's mic. My mind quickly identified them as sounds of birds and the jungle around the monastery. I was thinking, this is really cool. seems like we are meditating in the monastery in the jungle. I was mentally in a monastery surrounded by a beautiful tropical jungle next to a mountain range. Soon, I realized that I am in thinking mode, mental fabrications, and checked if I could feel any sensations in the body. I started feeling the posture again and observed that the mind came back to the body in the midst of the sound and gave up the mental fabrication. I observed that the focus, attention, and vigilance of the awareness now increased with this transition, which made it possible to continue mindfulness of the body. I presume they are all positives. My question is, when the mind gets shifted by sounds, I could not catch it. Only when some mental proliferation started did I realize what had happened. Is this the normal way? Do I have to be more vigilant and sharpen my practice to catch it whenever it shifts? Or is it okay to lower the guard so that you can let it go as long as I know how to bring it back? Lowering the guard means it will go as it wants. Don't know what this word is, go-go or gaga, until I realize the situation. Thank you, Bhante, for your insight and guidance. That's the end.
Yeah, actually, if you can naturally allow it to happen, then it is much better. Because at the beginning, we become little shaky, or we become little panic when distraction happens. Because we think that every time the mind has to be precisely with the breath, and that's it. So that is taking a little too rigid. But on the other hand, if you know that mind has now distracted, it's little sort of going through some fabrication, but you know that. And once you know that, and if you are not fertilizing that, if you are not encouraging that, then mind slowly leave it aside and come back to yourself. Because, you know, more and more, the meditation has to become more and more natural. At the beginning, it is little artificial, where you are maintaining a straight posture, you are have to maintain your attention at the nostril, on breath, and all these are little kind of a fabrication, kind of a preparation. But later, when the mindfulness is fairly established, you give some flexibility. You allow the mind, you give some openness, some freedom to the mind to little play. And then it goes to some past experience, goes to some future experience, some fabrication, some fantasy, some proliferation. All these things are possibilities. Actually, later, these are helping us to recognize ourselves. What are my tendencies? What are my latent tendencies in the mind? To which experiences that my mind most like? So these are the kind of revelation happens about ourselves, kind of knowing about ourselves. Actually, in order to happen that, we have to little give some space for the mind, some freedom to the mind to play. Then only we know where it is exactly going. Therefore, if you are able to recognize, okay, now mind is fabricating, if you know that, so that is a kind of an understanding. Is where you know exactly now mind is not the breath, but rather with some fabrication. But you know, how you know? So this knowing is actually belong to mindfulness. You know, in mindfulness, there are different stages. Sati bala, the power of mindfulness is where you are not shaken even when mind has in the place where it has to be. Still, if you are not shaken, that is the kind of a developed mindfulness, because you have some confidence. You have some confidence that without much trouble, you can bring it back. You can re-establish mindfulness. That is a kind of a confidence you are developing with the improved mindfulness. So therefore, in this situation, allowing it to little play and even you watch it, and then without encouraging it, simply allowing it to come back is one of the kind of a natural process where you are avoiding the fertilizer, where you are stopping the fertilizer, where you are cutting off the causes so that the mind may naturally return back to breath or wherever it wants. So therefore, I encourage you to give it a try and allow the mind to naturally settle.
Bhante, we have two more questions. Are we okay for time?
No problem.
Okay, good. They're short ones anyway. Question number 7 is more of a general question. If we are trying to learn more about practice-related teachings from the suttas, is Anapanasati a better start for a novice? Though Satipatthana Sutta, or Four Foundations of Mindfulness, is highly regarded, I find it a bit difficult to follow from end to end, as there are many different versions of practice. Whereas Anapanasati Sutta has a continuous flow from start to the end. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually, Anapanasati Sutta is a beautiful sutta. You can start reading that. And it has actually inbuilt Satipatthana as well. So that's the beauty of Anapanasati Sutta, where Buddha explains it in a way how one can develop Anapanasati in such a manner to develop Satipatthana as well. So that is a kind of a different formula given in Anapanasati, where you are supposed to develop Anapanasati in a way to develop Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So as you know, there are 16 steps to Anapanasati mentioned in that sutta. Four steps, Buddha says, contributing to Kayanupassana. Next four steps contributing to Vedananupassana. Next four steps contributing to Chittanupassana, and the last four steps contributing to Dhammanupassana. So likewise, Buddha, with his knowledge, he is giving us this methodology in a way to develop Four Foundations of Mindfulness with the aid of Anapanasati. So therefore, I encourage you to read Anapanasati, and mostly actually giving more prominence for your practice, because your practice actually gives us the better understanding about what is going on. Otherwise, this becomes the whole process of, the theoretical knowledge.
Question number 8. Bhante, on the days when I am more distracted, is it better to go back to something like counting breaths, or just keep being kind to myself and keep redirecting to nostrils? That's the end of the question.
How about going for a walk? I think, because sometimes we regiment the process thinking, okay, I always have to go to breath and this is the only method and likewise. But if you feel that you have so much distractions, today the office environment is somewhat noisy, some disturbance, I had some arguments with my superiors and all blah, blah things, then rather than immediately coming and sitting, rather spend more time on walking, because the walking session is such a beautiful area where you can release all these pressures, you can release all these tensions and settle yourself. And once that settling happens, once that natural disengagement from all that distraction happens, then again, you can go to sitting session. Then the sitting session will be more successful because the homework is done at the walking. This walking is actually such a beautiful area where the distraction can be eliminated in a very natural manner rather than in a forceful manner. In the sitting session, they are somewhat like suppressed. But in walking, you are allowing them to happen. You simply naturally allow them to dissipate, allow them to go away. Therefore, it's a kind of a natural process. Then you can refine that, develop mindfulness, coming back to sitting session.
That's the end of the questions, Bhante. I'll ask if anyone else wants to raise something directly. So I'll give you maybe a couple of seconds. You can raise your hand if you want. Otherwise, we'll look to end the session. So it doesn't look like any further questions, Bhante.
Yeah.
I'll pass on to, I think, Suranga Aiyer to finish up.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a good time to wrap up today's session. Hope you all had a good guided session, insightful Dhamma talk and a Q&A time. Bhante always emphasize on practicing at home whenever we can allocate some time. So if guided recordings help you, all previous guided sessions with extra time to practice are now uploaded to the monastery website. Also, you can refer back to the Q&A recordings as well. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to use the Google form. It's possible to do it completely anonymous using the form or ask a question directly during the Q&A session. So on behalf of everyone, I would like to thank Bhante for this valuable session today and pay our homage. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And Sadhu, 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 Sadhu,